President Obama's pick for the Supreme Court got her first chance to speak publicly today. The Senate Judiciary Committee gathered on Capitol Hill for Judge Sonia Sotomayor's confirmation hearing. Senators on both sides staked out their lines of attack and defense. Democrats praised Judge Sotomayor for her personal accomplishments and her achievements in the courtroom. Republicans expressed concern about her comments off the bench and worried that she is an activist who would decide cases based on personal experience rather than objective interpretation of the law. In her opening statement, Judge Sotomayor recounted her life as a Puerto Rican American who grew up in the Bronx, and she gave a simple summary of her judicial philosophy, calling it, quote, fidelity to the law. We'll play you her entire opening statement and then hear from some of her critics on the Judiciary Committee. First, here is Judge Sotomayor's opening statement delivered less than an hour ago.
In recent weeks, I have had the privilege and pleasure of meeting 89 senators, including all of the members of this committee. Each of you, Ben, has been gracious to me, and I have so much enjoyed meeting you. Our meetings have given me an illuminating tour of the 50 states and invaluable insights into the American people. There are countless family members and friends who have done so much over the years to make this day possible. I am deeply appreciative for their love and support. I want to make one special note of thanks to my mother. I am here, as many of you have noted, because of her aspirations and sacrifices for both my brother Juan and me.
Mom.
I am very grateful to the President and humbled to be here today as a nominee to the United States Supreme Court. The progression of my life has been uniquely American. My parents left Puerto Rico during World War II. I grew up in modest circumstances in a Bronx housing project. My father, a factory worker with a third grade education, passed away when I was 9 years old. On her own, my mother raised my brother and me. She taught us that the key to success in America is a good education. And she set the example, studying alongside my brother and me at our kitchen table so that she could become a registered nurse. We worked hard. I poured myself into my studies at Cardinal Spellman High School, earning scholarships to Princeton University and then Yale Law School, while my brother went on to medical school. Our achievements are due to the values that we learned as children, and they have continued to guide my life's endeavors. I try to pass on this legacy by serving as a mentor and friend to my many godchildren and to students of all backgrounds. Over the past three decades, I have seen our judicial system from a number of different perspectives. As a big city prosecutor, as a corporate litigator, as a trial judge, and as an appellate judge. My first job after law school was as an assistant district attorney in New York. There, I saw children exploited and abused. I felt the pain and suffering of families torn apart by the needless death of loved ones. I saw and learned the tough job law enforcement has in protecting the public. In my next legal job, I focused on commercial instead of criminal matters. I litigated issues on behalf of national and international businesses and advise them on matters ranging from contracts to trademarks. My career as an advocate ended, and my career as a judge began, when I was appointed by President George H.W. Bush to the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York. As a trial judge, I did decide over 450 cases and presided over dozens of trials, with perhaps my most famous case being the Major League Baseball strike in 1995. After six extraordinary years on the district court, I was appointed by President Clinton to the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. On that court, I have enjoyed the benefit of sharing ideas and perspectives with wonderful colleagues as we have worked together to resolve the issues before us. I have now served as an appellate judge for over a decade, deciding a wide range of constitutional, statutory, and other legal questions. Throughout my 17 years on the bench, I have witnessed the human consequences of my decisions. Those decisions have not been made to serve the interests of any one litigant, but always to serve the larger interests of impartial justice. In the past month, many senators have asked me about my judicial philosophy. Simple. Fidelity to the law. The task of a judge is not to make law, it is to apply the law. And it is clear, I believe, that my record in two courts reflects my rigorous commitment to interpreting the Constitution according to its terms, interpreting statutes according to their terms and Congress's intent, and hewing faithfully to precedents established by the Supreme Court and by my circuit court. In each case I have heard, I have applied the law to the facts at hand. The process of judging is enhanced when the arguments and concerns of the parties to the litigation are understood and acknowledged. That is why I generally structure my opinions by setting out what the law requires and then explaining why a contrary position, sympathetic or not, is accepted or rejected. That is how I seek to strengthen both the rule of law and faith in the impartiality of our judicial system. My personal and professional experiences help me to listen and understand, with the law always commanding the result in every case. Since President Obama announced my nomination in May, I have received letters from people all over this country. Many tell a unique story of hope in spite of struggles. Each letter has deeply touched me. Each reflects a dream, a belief in the dream that led my parents to come to New York all those years ago. It is our Constitution that makes that dream possible, and I now seek the honor of upholding the Constitution as a justice on the Supreme Court. Senators, I look forward in the next few days to answering your questions, to having the American people learn more about me, and to being part of a process that reflects the greatness of our Constitution and of our nation. Thank you all.
Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor speaking to the Senate Judiciary Committee last hour. Her confirmation hearings began today. Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama is the ranking Republican on the committee. He led the opposition today to the Sotomayor nomination.
I'm afraid our system will only be further corrupted, I have to say, as a result of President Obama's views that in tough cases, the critical ingredient for a judge is, quote, the depth and breadth of one's empathy, close quote, as well as his words, quote, their broader vision of what America should be. Like the American people, I have watched this process for a number of years, and I fear that this empathy standard is another step down the road to a liberal, activist, results-oriented, relativistic world where laws lose their fixed meaning, unelected judges set policy, Americans are seen as members of separate groups rather than as simply Americans, where the constitutional limits on government power are ignored when politicians want to buy out private companies. So we've reached a fork in the road, I think, and there are stark differences. I want to be clear. I will not vote for, and no senator should vote for, an individual nominated by any president who is not fully committed to fairness and impartiality toward every person who appears before them. I will not vote for, and no senator should vote for, an individual nominated by any president who believes it is acceptable for a judge to allow their personal background, gender, prejudices, or sympathies to sway their decision in favor of or against parties in before the court.
Jeff Sessions of Alabama, the ranking Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Republicans have been careful to point out that their opposition to Sotomayor's nomination is about judicial philosophy, not about race or ethnicity. Here's South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham.
No Republican would have chosen you, Judge. That's just the way it is. We would have picked Miguel Estrada. We'd all have voted for him. And I don't think anybody on that side would have voted for Judge Estrada, who is a Honduran immigrant who came to this country as a teenager, graduated from Columbia, magna cum laude, Harvard, 1986, magna cum laude and law review editor. A stellar background like yours. And that's just the way it was. He never had a chance to have this hearing. He was nominated by President Bush to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, which I think most people agree is probably the second highest court in the land, and he never had this day. So the Hispanic element of this hearing is important, but I don't want it to be lost that this is mostly about liberal and conservative politics more than it is anything else.
Still, Senator Graham acknowledged that he and his colleagues can do little to change the outcome of these confirmation hearings.
Unless you have a complete meltdown, you're going to get confirmed. And I don't think you will, but, you know, the dramas being created here is interesting. And my Republican colleagues who vote against you, I assure you, could vote for a Hispanic nominee. They just feel unnerved by your speeches and by some of the things that you've said and some of your cases.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. NPR's Ari Shapiro spent much of the day following today's hearings. He joins us now in Studio 3A. Good to have you with us, Ari.
Hi, Lynn.
So we just heard Judge Sotomayor's statement and a couple of Republican criticisms. What are the lines of attack and defense that are shaping up here?
Well, throughout the day, we heard Republicans consistently talking about comments Sotomayor had made off the bench. There was one speech in particular they kept returning to where she said that a wise Latina woman might make a better decision in a given circumstance than a white man who's not had the same experiences. And while the Republicans were talking about those speeches and other comments she had made, the Democrats really focused intently on her life story, growing up, as we heard, a poor Puerto Rican American in the Bronx, and also on her record as a judge. And they brought out some statistics showing that, as they saw, she really is a very moderate, middle-of-the-road judge and not the activist that Republicans were trying to portray her as.
Is it unusual to spend that much time on a judge's personal life story?
You know, I think in any situation where you've got somebody up for a high-profile nomination like this, you'll use whatever seems to be an advantage. And in this case, her personal life story does seem to be an advantage, not only because of the kind of American dream aspect of it, but also because, you know, Hispanics are the fastest growing voting bloc in America today. And so telling this story helps from a political perspective, as far as members of the Senate Judiciary are concerned, helps the Democrats appeal to a potential swing voting bloc that could eventually go either way.
Did you hear anything unexpected today?
You know, the thing that surprised me the most came from Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island, who's a Democrat. And up until he spoke, the tension was sort of between Republicans saying, she's an activist, she's going to rely on empathy, she's going to use her personal background, and Democrats saying, no, she's not, she's a moderate, she's a centrist, she's going to judge things impartially. And Senator Whitehouse came out and said, you know, she is empathetic, and she does rely on her personal background, and that's a good thing, and that's important. And so there was an interesting split within the Democratic Party of people who were sort of trying to backpedal from some of these statements that Sotomayor had made. And then Senator Whitehouse, through over the course of the day, was, as far as I could see, the only one who really kind of embraced those comments and said, yes, President Obama tapped her because of this idea of empathy and because of her background. And every justice on the Supreme Court has a background that comes into their decision-making process. And for them to ignore it and deny it doesn't serve anyone.
Yeah. What about in that statement we just heard? Did she seem to be addressing in any way some of the criticisms that she obviously knows are out there that will be coming at her from the Republican side?
Well, sort of. I mean, you know, she talked about witnessing the human consequences of her decisions. She said, "My personal and professional experiences help me listen and understand, with the law always commanding the result." But really, I don't think she went out on a limb at all in this statement. The statement was much shorter than it needed to be. When she described her judicial philosophy as fidelity to the law, that's no different from what Justice Samuel Alito or Chief Justice John Roberts said at their confirmation hearings. This was, you know, except for the personal background, more or less an opening statement that could have been read by any Supreme Court nominee in any year. And that may reflect how near certain the outcome of these hearings is, that as Senator Graham put it, you know, unless you royally screw up, you're going to get confirmed. And I think everyone in the room sort of knew that, which in an interesting way, I think, sort of frees everybody up to talk about, well, what is the proper role of a judge? How do we discuss this? And even though there isn't this high drama of will she or won't she be confirmed to the Supreme Court, I found the hearing very, very interesting to listen to because I thought there actually was a real substantive debate about how much our personal backgrounds and experience do and should influence the decisions that we might make as a judge.
Well, what are some of the other challenges that she's going to hear and that she's going to have to address?
Well, they didn't talk too much about specific cases today that she has decided, but we know there are some that are going to come up. At the top of the list is the Ritchie firefighters case from New Haven, a reverse discrimination case challenging a test for promotion in the firefighters. It was thrown out when no black firefighters were promoted. Another one on the list is a Second Amendment case about gun rights and whether the Second Amendment applies to the states. Those are going to come up, and we'll hear a lot of that in questioning tomorrow and probably into the next day.
Right, and the real battle begins tomorrow, and that's when Judge Sotomayor takes a full day of questions from the committee members. We will have special coverage of the confirmation hearing tomorrow in this hour and on Wednesday. Join Neil Conan for that. Ari Shapiro joined us here in Studio 3A. He is Justice Correspondent for NPR. Thanks, Ari.
Good to be with you.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.